Last week, and we're going to continue for the next few weeks, are reminding ourselves that we're getting ready to build, which means not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. We want to build ourselves up in the things of God so we are ready for everything that the Lord calls us to. Amen. You know, there are many challenges that we have before us, but if you realize that a lot of the delays are allowing you to get ready, a lot of the hassle sometimes, or a lot of the journey, you're like, I wish it was shorter, I wish I could get there quicker. But some days you can get to places too quickly and then you're not ready to sustain it. Sometimes you can get to places too early and you're like, oh, I wasn't quite ready for it. And so all along the way, God uses the journey, he uses the trials, he uses the problems to perfect you and get you ready. And hopefully you can say amen to that. Well, we are going to go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. Last time we talked about Nehemiah, this incredible man of God who looks out, he sees a problem with his people in a far off land, and he says to himself, I'm going to make this my problem. And what he does is he begins to pray, he gets a burden, says, he begins to weep and he begins to get teary and he begins to get sensitive in the spirit, but then he does something more. And today we're going to look at the something more. He actually does something about it. And that's what I want to encourage us with today, because you can get sad about things. You can even get emotional about things. You can even weep about things, but if you don't do anything with it, then it's probably just emotion and that's all it is. But God wants to move our hearts. And that's what we see from the story of Nehemiah. His heart gets broken, and then from that place of brokenness, he drives himself to prayer. And sometimes I say it like that because you have to drive yourself to pray. Sometimes you just don't want to do it. I just want to sit in the corner. I just want to do something else. You know, I just want to talk to anybody else. But the last person I want to talk to with God is God, because maybe even I'm a little bit mad with God, or I'm a little bit upset with the situation. He should know anyway. And so Nehemiah, he drives himself to pray. And it says he begins to fast, he begins to mourn, he begins to get the heart of God. And then out of that, he begins to rise up. And guess what it gets him to do? Not just more praying, but action. Action. He begins to do something with what God has put on his heart. And I think this is a crucial step that most people don't ever get to, because they get emotional, they get consumed, they get passionate, but it never leads to any real action. And so today I want to talk about, what does it look like whenever you get a burden from God, you get to prayer, and God begins to direct your steps, and then you get a vision, you go, okay, I'm going to put this thing into practice, and I'm going for this thing. Amen? So Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20, here's where we'll start. It says this: the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. Now, what I love about this church is the first part: the God of heaven will give us success. There's something about the vision that God puts on your heart that you have to remind yourself that if this is a God vision, then God's success is on me. God's hand is on me. God's favor is on me. What have we seen over this last 10, 12 years of Vibe, and even from when we started in 2006, is that we may do new things for us, but it's not new for him. We may not be always sure where we're going to next, but his hand is upon us, and so we sense his blessing, we receive his blessing, and we move in his blessing. And today, this is what Nehemiah confessed to the people. The God of heaven is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? And then he adds the second part. We, his servants, will start to rebuild. This is what I love. It's not like, oh, I feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of God. And then that's it. It's like, no, I'm aware of his presence. I'm aware of his favor. Let's go do something. Let's go do something. And church, can I just say this? We were all made to do many things. We were all made to do incredible things that God has called us to. And many times what you'll find is the things that you love and the things you're most skilled at, that's what God's called you to. Now, you may not always feel like you're ready for it in the early days. You might feel nervous. You might feel afraid. Those are perfectly natural things. But I'm confident, because I know for myself and I know from others, that if you trust the Lord, you'll step into it and suddenly it becomes easier, becomes better, and you realize what God has put in your heart. See, for Nehemiah, it went from a broken heart to bold action, and this is crucial for all of us. The first point I want to give us is that prayer led to action. We're going to go right up to verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 2. It wasn't just prayer, but it was prayer that led to action. I can't underline this enough. It wasn't just prayer, but it was prayer that led to action. It wasn't just praying about it. I'm going to do something with it. It's almost like I'm not just reading the Bible. I'm going to apply this to my life. I'm not just talking to God. I'm going to do what he says. I'm not just coming to church. I'm going to be the church. Amen? We are people that must get to action. Otherwise, we're going to get to action somewhere else. We're going to do something else instead. Verse 1 is what it says. In the month of Nisa, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him. Remember, Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king. He brings wine to the king. That's it. That's all he does. This is his job. It says, I took the wine and gave it to the king. This is his job. I had not seen Ben-Sad in his presence before. Now, I want you to just pause on this. This is an interesting detail. So we're getting a little bit of historical detail. We're getting a bit of context of the time. And then we're getting told of what Nehemiah is doing. He's bringing literally the cup to the king. You know what he does? He tests it. The king waits a minute or two. If Nehemiah doesn't keel over, okay, it's good to go. I'm going to drink the wine. I'm going to drink the juice, whatever. Because this is what he did. Kings back in those days were threatened for their lives. So they needed to have a cupbearer who would taste the wine to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. Because if it was, Nehemiah's going and not me. That's what the king thought. So Nehemiah fulfills his job. But then it says that the king notices something about Nehemiah. And it adds this detail. It says, I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me. Church, can I say this? That this detail is here for important purpose, and is here for an important value. When you spend time with God, you know what's going to happen? People will see it on the outside. You know, people will see it on the outside. They will hear it in your voice. They will see it in your complexion. They will know it in you. Because when you spend time with God, you become more like him. And this is what Nehemiah begins to realize. Oh my goodness. As I spend time in the private place, God prepares me for the public place. As I spend time with him, getting to know the King of Kings, look what the Lord has done. He has prepared me to be in front of an earthly king. And if you were here last week, then you already know this point. But just in case you weren't, here's the truth. For Nehemiah to go before the king for any other purpose than what he has been employed to do could mean certain death. This is just the law of the land. This is how it worked. You did not get above your station. You did not talk to somebody you weren't supposed to. And you definitely did not get above your station when it came to the king. But Nehemiah is about to do it. But the king's already picking up on something. This king's smarter than you know. It says, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask anybody that question today. But sometimes I do look around and go, why are you so sad when it looks like you're not ill? But this is what the king asked Nehemiah. He says, why are you so sad and you're not ill? Now, I don't know if this king was a doctor or maybe he's just switched on, but he knows people because kings know people. They interact with a lot of people. They see them. Maybe you can just see it in his eyes. You look fit and healthy to me, but why is your face so sad? And clearly, there's a problem. But look what the king says. He goes, why does your face look so sad? You're not ill. This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. Wow. Wow. So I don't know if the king thinks that Nehemiah is in love, but he knows something's going on in his... You ever met anybody's lovesick before? Oh my goodness. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't eat, I can't sleep, I give away all my money. Nobody else can have my money, but you can have it all. You know, like my time is gone, I don't even know my time. Like, it's just crazy. You might have been there, hopefully you're at the other side. Lovesick. But Nehemiah is not lovesick in this moment as we would think about. He's brokenhearted for the issues of his people. And the king notices it. And the king begins to speak to him. And he says, what's going on, Nehemiah? You've got to tell me the truth. This is an astounding, incredible encounter, church. It's one that just never gets to happen. Nehemiah is not supposed to do this. And he knows that by doing this, he risks death. But somehow, he gets to live. Can I say it like this, church? When the Lord's hand is on your life, he'll even use earthly kings for your good. Amen. When the Lord's hand's on your life, and it's a God vision, he'll even turn local council around. He'll turn local politicians around. He'll turn local people around. He'll turn everything around because the Lord, it says in the Old Testament that he holds the heart of the king and he turns it whatever way he wants to turn it. This is a clear example. He's an earthly king, but I'm the King of Kings and I'm setting you up for success. I'm setting you up for success to Nehemiah, but also for us today. And prayer is one of these things, church, where we have to, you know, sometimes you say to yourself, are we always going to talk about prayer? Yes. Because it's really cool, especially when you realize who you're talking to and who talks to you. It's God. Like, how can we not remind ourselves that we're to pray about everything? When we say you're to pray about everything, it's not supposed to be, oh, I've got to pray about everything. No, it's like, I get to talk to God about everything. It's not like an Old Testament thing where I go before an earthly king and I'm worried if he'll accept me or reject me. I'm worried if he'll keep me alive or he'll kill me. No, no, no. This is the complete opposite. I get to go before a heavenly king who knows me and loves me and will give me everything I need. And he wants to talk to me any time of the day. And guess what? He's willing to listen to any issues you have. He's willing to listen to any wee heartaches you have. He's willing to listen to any problems you have. And he's caught. Like, this is extraordinary, church. This is the access that we have to heaven. This is the access that we have to God. And when you pray, you know what begins to happen? It changes you bit by bit, day after day, moment after moment. And I think what happens in prayer is the same thing as you see with Nehemiah. He went in broken and battered and almost heartbroken and maybe even a little bit hopeless. And now he's come out brave and bold. Brave and bold. Like, if you need some boldness in your life, you need the Holy Spirit, of course. But after you get the Holy Spirit, you need to begin to pray and say, Lord, I want to do this, but I'm afraid. Lord, I want to go here, but I'm nervous. Lord, I don't know why I'm consumed with fear, but I need your help. And watch how you begin to pray prayers like that, that God begins to answer your heart. And before you know it, you're doing things that people go, is that really you? Is that the same person? It is, but God's got a hold of my heart. Bold prayers transform lives. And this is what happened with Nehemiah. He goes before the king, and suddenly he gets faith that's not dead, but faith that moves, and faith that moves forward, and faith that even moves forward to the expense of his life. Think about this, church. A few days before, Nehemiah's just doing his job. He's just bringing wine to the king. He's just going about his own everyday business. He's not thinking about anybody else. Why should he? It's his world. It's nobody else's world. Take care of yourself. That's what we're taught. But then in one moment, Nehemiah gets a glimpse of the pain of some people that are in trouble. And he begins to say, it gets his heart. It gets his heart. And now it's got his heart so much, church, that not only has it driven him to prayer, but it's got him out of the prayer closet. He's now bold in the public place, and he's willing to put his life on the line for the chance to save his people. This is extraordinary. Church, this is what the Lord does with everyday, ordinary people, and maybe you're one of them. This is what he does. He causes you to do extraordinary things. See, prayer doesn't get God moving. It gets you moving. And I want to say it like this. If your prayer doesn't get you moving, then you're praying dead prayers. Come on, church. If your prayer does not get you moving in the things of God, does not get you moving in life, you're praying the wrong stuff. You need to change it up. You need to get the book of Psalms out. You need to get the Bible out. You need to start praying the word of God, because it might be that your words are they're going somewhere else. Reinhard Bonnke, he said it one time like this. I watched the video years ago. If you don't know Reinhard Bonnke, you got to look him up. You'll be blown away. A simple, humble man who got filled with the Holy Spirit and started to speak a message that Jesus can change anybody's life. And at the end of his life, he saw millions of people saved. An incredible guy. But this is what he says. Church, he says, if all we ever do is pray, it won't do anything. He says, prayer on its own is useless. It's got to be prayer with action. Now, you got to bear in mind, Reinhard Bonnke's an evangelist, or he was. He's now in glory with God. But Reinhard doesn't mince his words. He hits you on the nose, and he just said it like this. He said, prayer without action is dead. And I think we can learn something from that. Because if we're not prepared to get into the prayer closet and pray with the Lord, and then we're not prepared to move out in power and go, well, gosh, we got to get back in to pray. Did we get something, or we need somebody to come with us? Because prayer is meant to motivate us to take bold steps and to take bold actions. God goes with me, but I must go. And here's the truth with Nehemiah. He didn't even know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But by the end of that interaction with the king, guess what happens? He gets a shopping list. He gets to give a shopping list to the king. The king is so turned. The king's heart is so moved with what's going on. God has so set up the situation that by the time Nehemiah gets to speak, the king's already going, okay, you can go in. What do you need? And you know what he says? He goes, okay then, well, here's what I need. I need papers, I need access, I need money, I need timber, I need all the stuff you'll need to rebuild walls. Come on, this is not a little ask, this is a bold ask. Like, Nehemiah goes before the king, and not only does he find favor before the king to stay alive, but now he gets to give the king a shopping list, and he's got kingdom approval. Come on, church. Is anybody getting excited today? Because when the Lord puts a vision on your heart, he'll even use the kingdoms of this world to supply the need. Amen? He'll even use the people that are in power in this place to provide what you need to accomplish the task, because nothing is impossible for him. And church, we are here to tell you this. God is for us, and he knows the plans before us, and all he's looking for is a bunch of people that would get stirred up and say, okay, pick me, Lord, I'm ready to go. And Nehemiah stands before him, and not only does he survive, but he gets to go. Okay, point number two, the call to rise. You see, Nehemiah has learned something on his journey with God. He's gone, okay, I was in a foreign land, I was on my own. I then got to spend time with God, and God put a burden on my heart. But my burden came from the people. What if my vision is going to be lived out through the people and in the people? And it begins to get the Father's heart. Remember, Jesus said, I haven't come for myself, I've come for you. That's hard for us to take in. Because in our world, what are we taught all the time? Be an individual, just you. And if it's not just you against the world, get one more person, and then it's us little, our team against the world. That's what we're almost trained to think like all the time. Can I just say, church, that is not of God. That is not of God. That's a world mindset that helps you to be self-established and self-sufficient, but that's not a kingdom mindset. The kingdom mindset is this: we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I don't even know if you want to amen that, because you're going, I don't really want him as a brother, and I definitely don't want her as a sister, but I'm stuck with them. Do you know what I'm saying? But this is the kingdom of God, church. If we could get together in unity, if we could get together under one banner, his name might be Jesus, that's a pretty good start. And if we could get a vision, oh my goodness, you'd be surprised where the Lord would take you next. It's unstoppable. Church, if I think back to where the Lord has brought us from 2006 with just a little dream of vibe to where he's brought us to now, it is extraordinary. But along the way, he's gathered up more people. And what I'm convinced with now, church, more than ever before, is there are more people in the room with the same heart than ever before. There are more people ready for the next battle than ever before. There are more people more set up for to go to the next stage than ever before. And all of life has taught you up until this point everything you're going to need for the next step. Amen? You see, you got to know that, church. The Lord is using every detail, even the painful days, the hard days, the confused days, the days where you made your mistakes, and he's using every part of those details to put it together, to paint a masterpiece that you're about to step into. And if you don't believe that, then you need to get into more prayer so that the Lord will get you transformed in your thinking, or get into the Word of God so you become more like him. Because you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ, and he has given you everything you need for every plan and every purpose that he's got for you. So the second thing that I want to talk about is this. He comes to the people and he says, guys, it's our turn to rise now. Verse 17 is what he says to the people. He says, I said to them, Nehemiah speaking, you see the trouble we are in. Wow, this first part's really important. Church, whenever you go to accomplish an incredible task, or you go to do something significant, you got to know what the problem is. Because if you don't know what the problem is, when the days get hard, you'll go, do we really need it? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, maybe you're saving for something spectacular. Maybe you're saving for your dream home or your dream car. If there's not a problem into why you need it, then when difficult days come, you'll go, we'll just settle for something less. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you realize the problem is not as big as you thought. It was just a personal thing, or it was just like, I fancied this, or I would have liked that. But when you get a problem that's unmovable, you have to get a dream that matches it. You have to get a vision that matches it. And when you get that vision and the hard days come, you know what keeps you going? You remind yourself of the problem. But God, you said this, but we're sick of people not realizing who they are in Christ. But we're sick of the lost being lost and never coming to Christ. We're sick of them getting lost here. We're sick of them missing out in their full life trying to get distracted with this thing and that thing. And it never proves true. You remind yourself of the problem. And this is what Nehemiah does to the people. He says, guys, you got to look around. I know we've been living here for hundreds of years, and I know you've got used to no walls around your city, but this is a problem. Church, I know you're an Armagh, and I know you've got used to being the minority, and I know you've got used to a powerless church, but this is a problem. Can we speak life to our own bones, church? You know, it's like, I know you've got used to that people are not respectful about God. I know you've got used to that God doesn't perform much on the streets because, you know, nobody believes. I know you've got used to. But there's a day coming when revival's about to break out. Amen, church? And when that day comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know that day is coming, whether you like it or not. But in between that, I believe the Lord wants to stir hearts, and I believe they're in this room, that we could go out and be mighty witnesses to the things of God, and we would see signs and wonders, and we would see men and women come to faith, and we would see a city turn around. And what if the Lord has decided that this time, which was once known as the ecclesiastical capital of Ireland by truth, not just by a statement, because it's still the church capital of Ireland today. But what if it became known as those guys in Armagh dared to believe, and now they're seeing a nation turned upside down? Come on, church. Anybody want to get excited on this? Because this includes you. Amen? This includes you. And if we can get a glimpse of this, you will not go backwards. You will go forward. Now, does God want to do it in every town? Yes. He's just looking for people that would believe it. That's all he's looking for. He's looking for some people that would find a problem and go, I've seen it now. We're having no more people dying in the mall. We're having no more people lost in this town. We're having no more people, no more broken homes, no more broken. You start to get ridiculous with your quests. You start to get ridiculous with your talk, because you say, I'm just sick and tired of it. And this is what Nehemiah said. I'm fed up with a city that should be surrounded and should be glorious and should have glorious walls and a people that should be strong. I'm fed up with it. And so much so I'm willing to risk my life, and I'm going to walk for days, and I'm going to get to Jerusalem, and I'm going to begin to tell the people, the hopeless days are over, the hopeful days are here. Amen. Come on, church. I think something's beginning to stir in us, that the hopeless days are over and the hopeful days are here. And God's looking to do something in us far greater than any bricks or mortar. He's looking to grab your heart so it will never be the same again. He's looking to do something to you. And people's going to see it on the outside, not just on the inside. He said, you see the trouble we're in. I think part of that church is prophetic. Most people couldn't see it. You want to know why they couldn't see it? Because they were so used to what they've been seeing. Think about that now just for a moment before we go all Northern Ireland and tell you something you already know. But when you've got so used to something and it's just your norm, and that car's always broken and those walls are always broken down, and we've always been ashamed and we've always been battered and bruised and we've always been divided and we've always been against somebody and we've always been fighting, well, then you just think that's what it always is. But what if, and what happens when one day someone comes with vision and purpose, or maybe even it's a church, and they start to speak a better word and say, things have changed. Today is the day of salvation. If we will believe today, God wants to do something through. I know that you felt hopeless before, but I've got a message that will transform your heart. His name is Jesus. And he'll do it today if you ask him. Church, when we get bold with the things of God, we can see the status quo completely changed. One day, everything changed. You know what that day was called? The cross, when Jesus went to the cross. Before that, everything was the same. After that, nothing was ever the same again. And we've still not fully recovered from that act of love. And we'll never fully recover from that act of love. And I want to say to us today, church, that God has put the same spirit inside of you that rose Jesus from the dead. And he's just looking to get out. His name is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you are his holy people. Come on, church. God has great things in store for you. And so he says, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, that we will no longer be in disgrace. You see the problem? Here's the solution. We're going to rebuild the walls. You see the problem? We're not going to rest in that problem. We're not going to get stuck in that problem. We're not going to wallow in that problem. We're not going to tell everybody about that problem. We're going to go, we see the problem. Do you see it? Yeah, I see it. I'm sick of it. Okay, me too. You want to do something about it? Yeah, let's go. We're going to trust the Lord. The Lord's given us a vision. And we are going to rebuild. Amen? And church, here's what I want to encourage you in your prayer life. You need to start praying. Lord, you're rebuilding Armagh. Lord, you're rebuilding me. You're building me the way you want to build me so that I can go and be a rebuilder in this city. Lord, I'm going to start to put people in my heart. You almost have to start playing a game, church, where the people you meet on the streets, you start to remember their faces. Just start to remember their faces and then bring them before the Lord in prayer and then start to believe incredible things. Like, Lord, I want to see that person in church next Sunday. Like, Lord, give me an opportunity to invite them to church. Can I tell you that our two friends are over from Mexico at the moment? They invited a whole family to church just up the town. They came from service. It's not easy, church. It's not easy. Now, does it work like that all of the time? No, but if you did it, you might be surprised with the results. That's all I'm saying. And when we start to get a heart for the people, we start to treat them like VIPs. We start to treat them like our family. We start to treat them like our friends. And once we start doing that, I believe the Lord already starts going, okay, revival's here. Revival's here. My people are starting to realize you're not here for you. You're here for others. You're not just here for yourself. You're here for them. You see, Nehemiah is looking to raise up leaders. In church, for us, we're looking to raise up leaders. And for Nehemiah, I want you to realize this. He had a difficult task. He's going to people. Maybe I've even got a difficult task. You're going to have to tell me different. Maybe you'll shout me down. I hope so. But Nehemiah had a difficult task. You know why his task was difficult? Because he was going to a people that were used to being hopeless. He was going to a people who were used to no vision. He was going to a people who were used to the walls like that. They hadn't even known a time when the walls were rebuilt because they'd been down for about 150 years. So most people had no clue what it looked like to have a strong city. Most people had no clue what it looked like to be strong and love the Lord in that sense and know that we've got protection. They had no clue about it. So he had an uphill task. And when he went to the people, you know what he would have faced. Okay, we've heard this all before, or no way, we can't do this, we can't do this. Church, we have to be careful what our mindset's like. Because sometimes when we hear about vision, we switch off and go, well, I don't know. And sometimes when we hear about faith, we switch off and go, I don't know. But when we hear about other things that we can relate to, we go, oh, you're right, yeah, weather's terrible. Yeah, no, you're right. You know what I'm saying? Come on, church. It's easy to talk about the things you're comfortable about. It's easy to go, oh, yeah, oh, we'll find a key topic and then we'll all agree. Like, the world's just getting worse. Yeah, I know. We'll get everybody to moan and complain and amen on that one. But what if we dare to believe that this time's getting better because you're in it? And because you've got the word of God, and because you're praying, and because the Lord's risen up a church, it's called this church, and I hope every other church in this town, to believe that we're here for such a time as this, and we've got a message of hope that will transform even the blackest heart, if you know anybody with a black heart. It will transform anybody's life, and it starts with us. And here's what Nehemiah had to do. He had to raise the bar. He said, guys, we're not just going to build one little portion of the wall. And again, we haven't even got into the details of the wall, but let me just say it like this. You don't have a wall around your house like the wall that they're going to about to rebuild. You don't have a fence around your house. Your neighbor doesn't even have a fence. At least I'm hopeful on that. They don't even have a fence that's even close to these walls. And Nehemiah doesn't go with a low thing. He goes with a high thing. Now notice this. He doesn't go to them and say, guys, we're going to rebuild a little bit of the wall because I know you've had it tough for this last season. No, he just says, we're going to rebuild the whole thing. Because God's hand's on our lives. We're going to rebuild the whole thing. What do we say, church? We're going to see the whole city saved. Why? Because our God's a great big God and there's nothing he cannot do. Amen. Church, this is what the Lord is saying to us and this is what he's speaking into our lives. And so I want to raise the bar for a few of us today. Maybe you need it. First one is this, raise the bar in prayer. Not just sometimes, but all of the time. I'm going to raise the bar on the word of God and you got to make this applicable to you. Not just reading it, but living it out. Not just reading it, but living it out. What's it going to take for you to live out the word of God? Not just read it. We got to raise the bar in our, so it's not just singing in our worship, but it's giving our whole lives to God. We got to raise the bar in terms of how we live our lives. I'm not just trying to avoid sin. I'm trying to live pure and holy. I'm trying to live with integrity. I'm trying to live from the furthest thing removed. You know what one of the biggest tragedies of today is, church, and yet the Lord works through it, is that you have mighty men and women of God that fall because of silly mistakes they've made before. Now, God will still get glory. God will still turn it around. But if we can take care of the little things, it will take care of the big things too. Amen? Pursue holiness. Pursue righteousness. Pursue integrity. Come on, we got to raise the bar in terms of our speech. It's not negativity. It's not gossip. We're speaking life. We got to raise the bar in our church. I don't just attend, but I belong, I serve, and I build the church. Imagine you came to church with that mindset. I hope you do already. I'm going today to build the church. You're thinking, what do you mean? Okay, I'm going to build the church, and here's how I'm going to do it. I've got a verse in my heart, and I know it's for someone. I'm going to go and say it to someone. Or I've got an encouraging word in my spirit. I'm going to go and say it to somebody. Or you know what? I'm just going to be kind and go, hey, you're looking great today. You're looking great. Hey, I love how you shine for the Lord. You just begin to speak encouraging words in life. It builds the church. Amen? It builds us up, and it allows us to come out differently. We raise the bar in generosity, not just comfortable giving, but sacrificial. Not raising the bar in our family, be present, be encouraging, lead your home in faith, and raising the bar in compassion. Love the ones who can never pay you back. That's true compassion, isn't it? Loving those who will never love you back. Loving those who can never even pay you back because you've got a heart for the King, and that's the way you're going to do it. And look at the response of the people. This is what I love, church. They've been broken for years, decades, but they get a vision from a man who's been broken by God, who now goes in with the mighty hand of God on his life, and he speaks a word that's ridiculous. Guys, I know you've had a few troubles, but we're going to rebuild the whole thing. What? He's so crazy, they start to believe him. And this is what they say. Okay, let's rebuild the walls at once. Wow. This can only be God, church. This can only be God for him to speak a word like that and for everyone to come with faith and go, okay, let's go rebuild. Let's rise up and let's do this thing. And the last point is this. verse 19, before you think like it was all just roses, before you think it's all just easy, maybe this is just Armagh, it's going to be the easiest thing on the planet. No, there's going to be trials. Verse 19, it says like this, when Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard this, they mocked and ridiculed them. When some of the main guys of the town heard what they were going to do, you're going to rebuild a nightclub? You're going to try to raise $1 million and then go for more? Yeah. You think God's done that? Yeah, we kind of do. You guys are a joke. Come on, church. This is how some people can feel. This is how they felt back here. This is what they experienced. But then the verse we read at the start, just in case you don't understand the context, this is the context of where Nehemiah then says it. He says, after they've just told him that, he answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. You know what he's really saying? We're trusting God, and we're just going to make a start. What are we saying, church? We have heard from God. We're trusting God. We don't have all the money. We're not sure how we're going to do it. We're not sure when the end will be. We're not sure when it's going to happen. We haven't got everything ready, but we're just going to start building. Amen. We're going to start having some momentum. We're going to continue to go. And that's what we have done year after year. Because you think we've just been saving for a building project. No, it's near enough the last thing on the list. You know what we've been doing every day after before that? Bright boxes. Going to help people, bringing furniture to people, inviting people in for a free coffee, cup of tea, visiting people, praying with people, doing this thing, doing that thing, running events at our own cost, going to estates, you know, putting up pop-up kids parties, running Friday nights every Friday night, sacrificing Friday nights, sacrificing for kids, sacrificing for youth, pouring it out on a Wednesday night, going here, going there, going everywhere. What have we been doing? We've been trusting the Lord with a crazy vision, and we've just simply built. That's all we've been doing. And you know what, church? Here's what I'm convinced of. One day, before you know it, we're going to stand back and go, wow, I'm already doing it with so many things. But this building project is just another one. But it's going to take you to continue to be built up in your faith. It's going to take you to continue to build up and be ready. Why? Because there are people that's going to need you. There are people that are going to need you. They're going to need you for prayer. They're going to need you for support. They're going to need you for lifts. They're going to need you for phone calls. For Nehemiah, it was probably the craziest time of his whole life. But can I suggest this, that it was probably the most exciting time of his whole life? Because he's living an incredible purpose. He's living an incredible purpose. And church, I'm calling us to incredible purpose because of what the Lord has done. See, what I learned about Nehemiah and what I learned about us is a vision is fantastic when it stays in our heart because it's always perfect in your heart. You know, no one can say anything, but it never goes anywhere. And this is the trouble, isn't it? You know, you can keep a perfect vision. You can keep a perfect dream. You can keep a perfect idea in your spirit. It can all look brilliant on paper. But until you let it out of the box, until you let it out of the house, until you let it out of your heart, you've no idea what's going to happen next. But the minute you do, it's going to be incredible. Now, sometimes it's not so incredible with the feedback, but something is ready to happen. And something, in fact, you could say it like this, anything's possible. Anything's possible. And so today, church, I want to encourage you. God is raising us up. I'm going to get our worship team to come because I'm nearly done. You see, in the midst of all of this, he declares the God of heaven will give us success, and we, his servants, will build. We're just going to trust. We're going to trust them. We're going to go forth every day, even though there's opposition. Maybe that opposition could be a good marker we're on the right track. Hey, maybe that opposition could be a good marker that we are on the right path with God. And as we would go forward, as we would say yes to him, what we've discovered is God is for us. And church, this is what I've realized. As I go forward with God, you know what I've realized? The more I step out in faith, the more he's there. The more he's there. The more I step out in faith, the more I've realized, oh my goodness, God, I can't believe how good it is. And maybe this week you faced opposition. But can I tell you this, that opposition is getting you more ready than you can ever imagine or think. Maybe at this moment you're going through trials, but those trials are getting you more ready than you could ever think. Because when Nehemiah stands before the king in fear of his life, it does something in the spirit. Oh my goodness, even God's above this king. Church, we have to remind ourselves that we've been given a God-given vision. And if God's given us a vision from him, then he will supply the vision. You know, the only question mark is me and you. That's the only question mark. Now, you can fight me back and go, well, be none with me. Praise God. That's what we want to hear. There'll be no question mark with me. I hope so. That's what I'm praying for. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. God has placed us. He's placed us like a great gardener. He has looked around. He said, I know the team I need to build. And he picked you. And he brought you here for such a time as this. And he placed you. And he planted you. And he said, you're going to bring something that nobody else can bring. Church, if you don't believe this, then you're going to miss on what the Lord has for you. You're going to miss. I want to give you a couple of last things, and then we're going to go to prayer. John 16. Can we read this one? Last verse I want to read together. John 16. This is Jesus. We switch from Nehemiah, who was the foreshadow of Jesus, to the best version, Jesus himself. 16. The context of this chapter is Jesus begins to tell his disciples, guys, I know we're having a great time, but one day I'm going to have to go to the cross. No, Jesus, don't go. No, you don't understand. I'm going to have to go to the cross. This thing's going to change. Now, have you ever been in a situation where maybe you've had the best holiday, or you had the best experience at university, or you just had the best friends group, and then one day it dawned on you, like, this is not going to last forever, you know? And then there's that reality of, oh gosh, I'm going to have to work for the next 50 years. Maybe that's just me. Okay, you know, or you went on holiday like, oh, the 10 days is over. We've had the best holiday ever. This is this kind of moment, church. This is this kind of moment. Like, the disciples are with Jesus, and up until this point, it's been incredible. They're seeing blind eyes open. You know, it's like people starting to recognize them. You're kind of a big deal now because you hang out with Jesus. It's making them feel good. You know, it's cool. Jesus is cool. He's the cool guy. And he starts to get all serious, and he goes, but boys, I'm here for sin. And I came to delete sin, to defeat sin, because so far it's separated you from God. And that's our Heavenly Father. You need him in the same way as I knew. So I'm going to have to get more serious than you've ever seen me before. And it's going to get so serious that one day I'm going to be like led to the slaughter like a lamb. That one day that's how it's going to go for me. One day I'm going to be led like the great man you've seen, but one day they're going to lead me like a lamb to the slaughter, and you're going to have to let me go. Like, this is the real talk. You know, it's like, this is hard, these kind of conversations. Really hard. And he says, but don't worry, there is a plan. Don't worry, I'm going to reveal all these things to you. And they're probably like, but Jesus, does it have to be? Yeah, it is, but don't worry. I'm going to be with you for a while longer. I'm going to make sure you're okay. I'm going to prepare everything. I'm going to prepare your hearts. I'm going to prepare you. But eventually, you're going to have to step into this thing. And church, this is what the Lord is saying to us. He says, I have been before you. I have went to the cross. I have defeated sin, death, and the grave. But now it's your turn, and you must go forward. Because if you don't go forward, who else is going to do it? Church, this is the challenge that we have, but this is also the incredible opportunity that we get to be the men and women of God at this time, at this season, that step into the gap to risk in faith to see other people's lives turned around. Here's what Jesus says to his disciples. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but notice the next part, but take heart. Take heart. Grab a hold of your heart. Boys, I want you to know this. You can grab a hold of your heart in the same way as you saw me take a hold of your heart and call you and say, come follow me. And in an instant, you left everything you had and followed me. I want to tell you, you can start to do this for yourself now. I'm going to have to go, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. And you're going to be able to grab your own heart and go, okay, be sensible now. Okay, don't freak out now. Okay, it's going to be okay now. All of us have to face those moments. And it's in those moments where it's just like, it feels like it could break us. But the next step, you feel the goodness of God. And then you go, wow, I feel more alive and more stronger than ever before. This is what the Lord's calling us to, church. Steady hearts. Steady hearts. Hearts where we will grab a hold of them and say, but if God's got me, who can be against me? But if God has my heart, who can be against me? Take heart, church. Take heart. It says, I have overcome the world. Can we stand together? We're going to pray. I want to declare something over all of our hearts, and maybe you'll believe it. And if you believe it, then you're going to receive it, and you'll pray it too. I just have such a sense that hopeless days are over. Hopeless days. I think that's the biggest message that Nehemiah brought with him as he traveled from a foreign land to Jerusalem. He brought a message of hopeless days are over. Hopeless days are over. And I want to speak that into your life, because here's the thing about God. See, Jesus went to the cross. If you're unsure about this, let me just break down a little point just for a moment. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't do just enough. He always did more than enough. Our world is finite. It's got limited resources. You get tired. I get tired. Sometimes you're grumpy. Hopefully not too much. You know, sometimes you don't have enough money. You know, there's only so much we can do. There's only so much we can do. But if you're in any doubts that Jesus can do all things, think of the cross. He went to the cross and he didn't just defeat sin for you, but he gave you a brand new start. And he didn't just give you a brand new start, but he said, even by my stripes, the bruises, the strips, the lumps that get taken out of me will be a proof that I'm going to heal you. So I'm not just going to touch your heart. I'm not just going to save you from your sins. I am going to give you a brand new start. I'm going to heal you from the inside out, and I'm going to make you more than you could ever imagine. In fact, I will give you a kingdom purpose, not just an earthly purpose. Church, this is what he has given us. This is what he has given us. This is what he has won for us at the highest price, that you would have a kingdom purpose on this planet. That it wouldn't be just, oh, I'm so thankful that I'm a stinking rotten sinner saved by grace. Guys, you got to realize that was the starting point, but that was not the end point. Amen? Come on, you got to say amen to that one. Amen. Because you did not get left there in your sin or just a bit covered over by his blood. Oh, there was a little bit left, so he covered me. No. He saved you for a divine purpose and for a divine time. And you're alive for these moments. And he has saved you and redeemed you. He has bought you back. You got to know this. Sometimes we got to Google some of these words to get them in our own hearts. He bought you back. And he didn't say, what's the best deal? He said, I'll give you the best sacrifice. Come on, church. You know, sometimes you go to the shop and you go, what's the best price? Come on, that's not the way Jesus dealt with us. That's the way he should have dealt with us, because we weren't worth too much. Come on, you were all battered goods. We were all riddled with sin. It was like going and buying a piece of furniture that was riddled with rot. It was just no good. Or it was like buying a car that didn't even start. But when God saw us, you know what he said? I won't pay the littlest price. I will pay the best price. And I won't pay it with somebody else's blood. I'll pay it with my blood. Church, we are more than you realize. More than you realize. And you're not going to find the truth inside of yourself. You're only going to find the truth in light of him. In light of him. Because this is the problem with our world. We look at things and we judge the price based on the look, the performance, the ability, the outward appearance. We don't get to see the inside too much. But God does not judge us like that. You know what God judges like? He judges us in light of himself. You're an image bearer. You're made in the image of God. I created you. I created you. I have known you. I have made you. I have formed you. And I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. This is what he says about you. And so therefore, you're worth more than you could ever know. Church, we will not find our value by looking in the mirror. We will not find our value by what somebody else says. We will not find our value by what some test gives us. We will only find our value when we look at our Creator. Amen? And we allow the Creator to speak to us. And we know what the Word says. And we know what the Lord says. And we begin to renew our minds day after day after day. See, as you stand today, it's a little bit like we'll talk about over this next couple of weeks. Nehemiah said to the guys, come on, church, let's go transform our ma. And the boys were like, did you know I just paint fences, or you know, I just mechanic on cars, or I no. We're going to rebuild walls. Okay, then let's go. Church, that's what they did. They rebuilt walls. They became master builders, and they weren't builders at all because they got a vision, and then they stepped out in faith, and God added to them day after day after day. We're going to pray the same for your heart. You got to get it. Because if you can get it, our man doesn't stand a chance. The enemy doesn't stand a chance. And this nation and this town is getting saved in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to pray together. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for every heart, every life. Lord, I pray today there is something that's stirred and something that's building inside of us. And Lord, none of us fully know, but you know. You know. And Lord, we're not here to try to doubt ourselves or question ourselves or put ourselves under pressure. But what we are here to do is allow the Lord to speak truth and life to our bones so that we begin to realize that we're no longer hopeless, but we are hopeful. We are no longer helpless, but we are helpful. We are no longer battered and abused and no good, but that we have a perfect plan for our lives and God's only getting started. Lord, I pray today for wonderful things to grow in us. I pray, Lord, for our hearts to rise. I pray for our minds to be transformed. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think inside of ourselves. It will not be done by just one or two. It will be accomplished by the many. It will be accomplished by the people. And so, Lord, I pray today that we would have the same heart as the men and women back in Nehemiah's day. They said, we might have been hopeless for generations. We may not have ever seen rebuilt walls, but we're going to choose to believe the vision that God has given us through your servant, Nehemiah. And so today we rise and we will build. And Lord, I put the same declaration and I put the same onus and I put the same idea into our hearts. Come on, let's rise and build because the Lord's righteous hand is upon us. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.